Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the writer, the producer, or the understudy, or the headliner, no matter the role, you have a purpose, and you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, friends, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? This is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall and building a way of life. And he see you eat them up. It's C is for common ground. What can we agree on? It's the why we come together. U is to unify thought. What vision can we share? It's the what we intend to do with each other. And E, equally yoked. What's the game plan? What's the role? What's my role in it? What success look like? And how are we going to get there? And Q leadership in general integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as the model to help you do two things. One, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you. And trust and discipleship is absolutely the two axes that leadership in all that we do. As we always do, we want to start our show with a prayer. So, Lord, you are a powerful, merciful, loving, living God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you, Lord. We know that this true leadership is your brainchild, our calling in your name. But we honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and serving this generation through you, Lord. Your word says in Romans 12:2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform to new leaders for your glory, and help others hear the call, receive the call, and raise some transformational leaders, some gatekeepers in your name, in Christ's name. Amen, amen. So as our show, what we expect today? We always like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap in order to tap into those two things, to tap into faith to build trust and build discipleship no matter where you are. We try to highlight everyday leaders that are making a difference and they can testify to God's goodness. And our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth and in love, but not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but to get to the root of the problem. We treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today is with any day. Let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me and have the right questions. And no matter the differences, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinion. But let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree about the disagreeable and be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue during our discussions. So as we kick off the day, what do you think about when you hear things like phrases like a penny for your thoughts? I know the old song, Nickel for Your Kiss, we know that song. Action speaks louder than words. What do you think about? An arm and a leg, the pot calling the kettle black, or even speak of the devil. Every language has its own collection of wise sayings, and they offer advice on how to live or how to transfer some underlying idea or principle or values of a given culture or society. And so these sayings are called idioms. They're phrases that have the meaning that's commonly understood by the speakers of that language. But sometimes they're often different from the normal meanings of words. They're proverbs if they are longer. These combination of words, they're rarely complete sentences, but they have a figurative meaning that basically paints the picture. It shows the picture, the story in words. Let's look at a few. We said a penny for your thoughts. It's a way of asking what someone is thinking. Action speaks louder than words. People's intentions can be judged better than what they do than what they say. Add insult to injury. to further a loss with mockery or indignity to worsen an unfavorable situation. Arm and leg, as I said, is very expensive and costly and costs a lot of money. The speak of the devil, this expression is used when people have just been talking about a rise at that moment. Or even some funny ones, not playing with a full deck, someone who's lacked some level in intelligence around a certain topic or situation. Last straw. It's the final problem in this series of problems. Or hit the nail on the head, do or say exactly something exactly right. You can't judge a book by its cover. Cannot judge something primarily on experiences. All these things we've heard, and as many, many others that we've heard through our lives. But what about pen mightier than the sword? The pen mightier than the sword means that a person can cause people to change their opinions or to even to fight a war on a large scale where a sword can only change a person's opinion by force, then offer results in that person's death. The founding fathers of the U.S. Here considers the pen to be mightier than the sword, therefore being able to gain freedom of America by uniting the colonists. We use the proverbs to say that we can solve problems or achieve some purpose better and more effectively through communications, words like violence or weapons. This is originally from Edward George Bulwer Lytton, an English novelist, wrote in his first time in 1839. He wrote, "Beneath the rule of men entirely great, the pen is mightier than the sword." So he was not the only one, but he was not the first either that thought this. A Greek poet died in 400 BC. "The tongue is mightier than thy blade." Even in Shakespeare in Hamlet, he has a line where he says, "Many wearing rapiers are afraid of the goose quills," which were used as a pen during those times. And as well as Robert Burton wrote in 1621, "Anatomy of Melancholy," which he stated from this is clear how much more cruel the pen may be than the sword. And it goes on and on, even from Jefferson and going and doing with your pen what in times was done with the sword. You know, all these written words that are powerful, they have helped to win wars, free slaves, subtle conflicts of all types, political, social, economic, and educational. And on the other side of the straw, they actually soothe the heart, fill the soul. It's all got tied there. And like the letter I can still get from a mom every month or two. It's just still that written element still kind of soothes you and you remember those things. And as we even though we talk all the time, we also sit on Facebook, how words can paint the picture of our lives, how it can allow us to put different brands or different accounts or different stories or even different faces of ourselves in this virtual book that we participate each and every day. These written words are powerful, but what about the spoken word? And I believe what's probably even much more powerful, spoken word is a free form that we all are probably aware of, telling a story, which has been around since the beginning of time, if you think about it. It's not just the art that we hear about spoken words on stage, but it's been around since the beginning of time. But as an art form in the underground, the black community, that's where it was really gained momentum the last few decades. Spoken words used tend to focus on the performance of the words themselves, dynamics of the tones, the gestures, facial expression, and more, just the acting. It's these components of rhyming, repetition, slang, improvisation, and many elements of poetry can be kind of intertwined together to kind of create this atmosphere, the experience for the audience. It draws on a rich culture, as I shared, of history, of struggle and triumph. And one of my favorite examples that transformed the course of our nation was from a transformation leader that I quoted at the beginning of the show every show when I asked, "Let us agree about the disagreeable," and that transformation leader I've always talked about is Dr. King, and that spoken word that transformed the future in the most powerful nature in history, but also transformed the hearts and minds of people across the globe. And that speech, "I Have a Dream," that was absolutely spoken word, even though it was written, but the way he delivered that, it pierced the souls of people and it changed the course of this nation. That speech was mightier than Jim Crow. It was mightier than lynching. It was mightier than black back of the bus. and it was even mightier than separate water fountains. If those spoken words are powerful, they can transform you, your situation, as an instrument for purpose or even for destruction, as we've talked about. No one knows better than our guest that is coming on, Michael Gwynn. Gwynn is a published author, dedicated humanitarian, social worker, internationally recognized performance and poet, who is the current president and founder of one of the most effective underground social awareness groups in DFW Metroplex, the Fort Worth National Poetry Slams, and the DFW Brave New Voices Youth Poetry Slams. Michael is internationally known, as we said, for his powerful, passionate delivery of social awareness and relationship, which has allowed him to be featured in plays, documentary, PSAs, commercials, television segments, all sorts of venues in the U.S. and Canada. He's also appeared at various venues across the country and in the most prestigious spoken words venues, from Berkeley to Los Angeles to Houston to Austin to Toronto to Seattle, Boston, Chicago, you name it, just to name a few. He will join us after the break, and he will help us answer our question of the day. Is the pen mightier than the sword? So after our break, we will bring on Michael Gwynn. He's the founder of Fort Worth National Poetry Slams, as I shared. So during the break, stay with us. Call in to log in with your thoughts. Our number is 310-861-2331 to ask a question, to make a comment. Press 1 on your telephone, which raises your hands virtually. And you're welcome to live into give our live chat room from Dorota Kennedy. She can bring you in into the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, friends. Our number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends. They help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose, His calling on your life. So today's question is spoken word. Is the pen mightier than the sword? Helping us with that is you. So call us at 310-861-2331, and Kennedy can bring you into our conversation. Helping with that was also, we were hoping, and I say we're hoping, was our guest, Michael Quinn. Somehow, I guess we didn't get him connected here today. Haven't heard from him in the last since earlier today. But we're going to continue to move forward. We may have a shorter show than normal, but I really appreciate everyone chiming in. And we're going to talk about him in a sense, and hopefully he's able to get in with us before the next half hour is over with. And we're going to bring on some of his work as well, so we can kind of speak to it. You know, as I said, many of philosophers and authors and historical figures have said that the pen is mightier than the sword. We can use this proverb to say that you can solve a problem or achieve some purpose, better purpose, more effectively than communicating the words by a mere set of violence and weapons. It's really kind of said to emphasize that thinking and writing have more influence on people than events that use force or violence. And those words, in a sense, communication are powerful, and even powerful than fighting wars, and as well as just fighting from a brute force. So that there's a power of the pen. So Michael himself is actually a former social worker who worked for CPS, and he talked about a moment that brought a healing for him, and what drove him to start to pen. So he said he had been seeing so much anguish, so much. Despair amongst kids, and the Lord just moved his spirit to the point to where he just lost it. And when he said, when the Lord released him, he awakened himself with a pen in his hand. The Lord just asked him to write. He said that's his pen moment, and it's really and it truly, the Lord awakened him and took over his spirit and put something in his hand. And in a sense, he said that was the reason why I write. So what we're going to do is set up this recording of his around his very first poem when he talked about the experiences with a young girl. So stay tuned. We have some technical difficulties here today. I guess this show may not meant to be happening here today. So it is the Kennedy. You have the first poem playing. It's not playing. Is it turned up all the way? Okay. All right. So we thought we were going to be able to move on with the show here. And so along the way, though. You know, we talked about what he was going to share was his moment to where there was a young girl who was born in prostitution in a sense. Her mother was one hooked on drugs, and as well as he saw that cycle beginning to take over her and the young girl herself end up passing and so forth, and along with because of having AIDS and HIV, and just because it was passed along because of that cycle. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the power of words, as we talked about, they're very powerful. My mother used to always pass on many Sams to me and my siblings, and one that kind of sticks out to me today is if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say it, right? There's an important point that I try to stick to that I always stick to, but it's something that I struggle with, and even in my daily profession each and every day, when you have to give someone some raw truth. And you have to also kind of understand sometimes you have to have a slow tongue to the point to where you have to really assess the situation and have that slow tongue in order to really give someone some life-giving word. So along the way, but when you're given that life-living word, you got to have some truth in that. And I always start the show about we're about having some truth and love. So we've heard some say that I'm going to tell you what God loves. I'm going to tell you the truth. But people then use that to kind of tear down one another, eat at one another, and really judge others. But if you take Ephesians 4:15 into account, rather than speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him, into the head, into Christ. that truth and love, that word of God shared that we should speak in truthfulness and loving manner. And how important is that? How important is that for us to kind of build ourselves as well as move people to one condition to the next with some truth and love? And each and every day, if we start with a level of judgment, it is also it's so tough to capture and win someone's heart and bring them over to the true word of Christ as we go through and try to testify to those. You know, another revolutionist in Black history was Marcus Garvey. He also used this: the pen is mightier than the sword. He said, but the tongue is mightier than them both. And so, at the end of the day, what you would have transitioned, there's the pen, there's words, but it's also the power of them speaking versus they were written. So when you get to the point to where you have the words and you also have them written in such a way, as I shared at the start of the show, talking about Dr. King and the way he transformed the minds and the spirits of everyone in this nation and as well as across this globe, it's a powerful thing. So when you think about probably the most prominent spoken word artist of our time, if you can think of one, Kennedy, who you can think of, a poet or so forth, who can you think of spoken word that you've heard in your lifetime? It can be a figure, it can be a politician, it can be whomever. Who would you choose?
In this time period?
Or whatever, anything that comes to mind.
Well, recently in English class, we've been talking about Emily Dickinson. She's a very well-known poet, so
mm-hmm.
I would say probably her.
Powerful words, right? So, but you think about it, I would say it was Christ. Think about his parables. Think about his storytelling. He didn't have any words in front of him because he was the Word at the end of the day, right? So, in fact, those parables are so powerful at the end of the day to where they still resonate in our hearts. And he knew that he couldn't necessarily cover every experience that we possibly have, so he used those parables for us to kind of connect the dots on whatever in any type of situation. And so when we talked about idioms, we started the show, we talked about idioms, and we talked about killing, you know, there was one that kind of sticks out. We're killing two birds with one stone. We all heard that, and it means to accomplish two things with the same thing. You know, we're in a series right now with the spirit versus soul in Hebrews 4:12, and this is actually our last show. And so we're expecting our guest, Michael Quinn. We hopefully be able to get on. We're going to continue with the show, and I appreciate your patience and so forth as we kind of go through and finish out our series here. But the Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. The sword of our, been talking about the spoken words. The sword of our mouth are being able to cut two ways, either blessing someone or cursing someone. So it is so important. So how it's important is to kind of speak blessings over your children and curse them with your words, and basically say things that are proud and things that are pleasing to their heart. And I know Kennedy, I thank you for being here with me. And it was a lesson for me earlier today earlier this week when your grades came in. And not to put you on the spot and so forth, Dad had some higher expectations, even though you hit the mark. I had some higher expectations. But at the same time, I had to catch myself before you saw me because I didn't want to be quick to judge. I didn't want you to see the facial expression on my face. How important for a parent or anyone to speak blessings and encouragement to children, especially someone in your generation?
I think it's just to be honest, but not in a harsh way. not to have a facial expression that's judgmental. Like
sure.
Probably around that.
Yeah, I have to be careful about wearing it on my sleeve sometimes when it comes to my kids. That's one thing that can get me rattled is my kids when it comes to it. So, you know, along with that, though, I've committed, though, that I'll do better, and I have. And if when I can't control it, I'll hide from you and not say anything. But how is important for when we talk about the word to come out of our mouth in order to keeping your word to people? Or is it important for me to keep my word to you?
It's very important. I mean, it's what you say. I mean, your actions should follow your words and how you and what you promise to other people.
Right, absolutely. You know, but on the flip side of this, I just talked about the words cutting two ways. One was the blessing and one was the cursing. You know, their kids and children and the people have been cursed by parents and all the peers and so forth in a way that say, hey, you're stupid. You're dumb. You're not going to amount to anything. You're incapable of anything positive. And so I pray that never comes out of my mouth on any of my kids or anybody I have contact with, but you always have to be on guard when it comes to that. So related to that, we're going to try to attempt again to play a cut from Michael Quinn's spoken words. It's called Daddy's Little Girl, which where it makes this curse, this two-edged sword can be a curse to kids and as well as their well-being. Okay, I hear you, Lord. I'm going to continue to go on because this doesn't seem to be working here right now. But along the way, when we talk about the curse, we also have to talk about, understand what we call, you know, it's the power of the tongue, right? It's the silver tongue. It's individuals who can pull the wool over your eyes, who can be deceitful and deceive someone and thinking something well of them at the end of the day. And so when it comes to that point, you know, Kennedy, you and I, we have the conversation all the time. We would talk about, you know, one of the major points at this, the major subjects in your time right now is boys. Not to put you on the spot, it's about boys, right? And so what I try to do, have an open dialogue. I don't always succeed in that because I was a boy. I won at one point in time. And always ask you about, what's the best lines you've heard, right? Mm-hmm. And I've always used those lines to kind of help you understand that, hey, you got to watch out for that silver tongue or that deceitful tongue or someone's flattering you from that perspective. You know, how is important to understand when someone is trying to fool you, trying to present something that they're actually not, and they got that silver tongue in order to really try to maneuver or manipulate you?
It's just something that you have to look out for. I mean, if your first gut feeling is, like, this person is not, he doesn't seem like he's going to stay with his word or like he's going to be a good person or he's going to be a good influence on my life, then maybe you should just not, I mean, not exactly respond, but just, like, respond in a nice way saying, oh, you know, I'm not interested, so, or,
right,
anything along those lines.
Right, right. So what's your new defense that you got to tell them? So you got to ask my dad.
Oh, you have to ask my dad.
So along the way, though, you know, you have this flattering or deceitful tongue, and then as well as sometimes you got to just take things for a grain of salt. This means, you know, sometimes you got to not take folks so seriously, and even yourself along the way. But, you know, when we talk about, we go back to our scripture from Hebrews 4:12, and we talked about the word of God is living and active and sharpening the two-edged sword and piercing even to the soul and dividing of the spirit. And it also talks about, also says, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of your heart. How is important to us to understand that we first have to allow God to speak, to listen to him first, and as well as allow him to speak rather than we speaking first?
Because he's our first point of reference. He's what we look forward to. And he's what we live for. And as you say every show, live into your purpose. So you have to live through your purpose. You have to let God speak through you. You have to listen to him. And whatever he tells you to do, you have to follow what he says at all times.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you know, it's to your point, it's better to listen and allow him because he has a greater understanding. It's infinitely greater than ours, and it's important for us to give us. But, you know, are the words, you know, when we kind of think about it, when you hear people say certain words, do you sense that, or how they say certain words or what they say, is it a direct reflection of what's in our hearts?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I wouldn't think so because, I don't know.
But sometimes you don't know. But
right.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes, you know, people reveal themselves in their words as well as mostly their actions at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Right. And that goes to the point of understanding that if someone has a deceitful or silver tongue along the way. So, you know, I really appreciate everyone joining in tonight, and I'm disappointed as well as you are. I was hoping to hear the spoken word artist who's really has blazed a trail in the last decade or so of really being a forum for people to really be enriched by the spoken word art. But we're going to try to close out the show real quick, and I appreciate everyone staying in. Just want to share a word with you along the way, because it seems like our audio files are not working, and I guess the Lord's telling me, hey, Eric, and continue to move on here. So we started the show talking about idioms, a phrase which is a meaning commonly understanding by speakers of that language. If you kind of think about it, every prominent public speaker has their own peculiar idioms. Very much of a man's character will be found in those idioms that a man or woman's character will be found in those idioms that he or she uses. These idioms will help you discover the type of speaking, especially those sharing the word of God. Our question of the day is really, is the pen mightier than the sword? And the answer is, it depends. It depends on which sword are you referring to. If it's a physical sword of war, a battle, then yes, we've seen it time and time again over history where the pen has been, even though slower, has been more transformational than any battle. And if there's a way that we can use the pen today, no matter where we are, we're fighting on any front, for terrorists or whatever means or fronts we're on, finding a way to use the pen and the spoken word to solve some of this, not just for this generation but for the next. But if we're talking about the sword found in the verses that we use as a basis of our spirit versus the soul series in Hebrews 4:12, we recall the word of God is living and active and sharper than the two-edged sword, and piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. The sword of your mouth, of our mouth, of being able to cut two ways, as to a point, it was about bringing on a blessing or a curse. But the spirit word, the S word, in a sense, is moistens, and it heals you, it nourishes you, it strengthens you, it refreshes you, it satisfies and refines you. But at the end of the day, the Lord has set his own, as I talked about earlier, who is the best spoken word artist there is and been in history. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you look at his speech, he has his own sets of idioms in his spoken words. And one in particular, you have to look for every time you hear this idiom, when you hear, verily, 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 verily. Look at Kennedy. She looked up at me at that point, because when you hear verily, verily, that you know where that came from. You know that what's about to happen, what those words that's going to follow that verily, verily came from the Lord himself. So there are three qualities in these words that revealed to us in our Savior's teaching. First one, verily, verily means there's clarity, there's clearness. Our Lord was the clearest, most straightforward, most outspoken of all speakers, simply saying that in a verily, verily, that I am first to speak. I am clear on what I have to say, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, he is clear on what he was going to say when he said, verily, verily. That is why it's better to listen to God and allow him to speak, since his understanding is infinitely greater than ours. And this is an important principle for us as believers and being able, that he gives us. The second point, the second quality in these three qualities about verily, verily was, verily, verily, I say this, that unto you. There's certainty in that. The certainty that he is, he was the truth, the way, and the light. And he knew what he said was true. He already knew there was certainty in that because he was the Word, and the Word was with God from the beginning. And therefore, we should, for our response, we should have a proper response and learn what that truth, that way, and that light is for ourselves. Important point, the third quality. And verily, verily, in that idiom, there is a seriousness in that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord was serious. He was serious, but he was not a dull speaker, right? He was the most dynamic spoken word artist for eternity, those whose words stand the test of time and space. The seriousness of Christ's word and works should cause us to listen to his gospel with a corresponding seriousness. So believe me, he, the living word, is able to discern, as Hebrews 4:12, discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He'll know. He knows now. He'll know when you see him, when you have to meet him on that day when he comes back. And the word we speak is a direct reflection on what's in our hearts. And if we speak words of deception or having a silver tongue, that's what's in our hearts. And if we those words that we speak come from what we have deposited in our spirit. So if we do not like what we are saying, we're in need of a heart transplant. Probably not to have learned the truth for ourselves, but we have to learn the truth for ourselves and bring it into our heart and pierce these bones in order to pierce our soul and use the spirit in order to moisten our bones and grow. So it was about the third. The seriousness is about the gravity of the gospel because it was concerning saving our souls and living with him through eternity. So every time we hear the spoken word or read the words, verily, verily, there is clarity, there is certainty, and there's a seriousness that we need to lend our ears to. So as we go on, let's get on cue with God's will, on cue in his calling in our lives, and get others on cue with that. I'm sorry? Someone's on? And so before we go, we would like to say thanks possibly for our guests who we were hoping to show up for us this evening, but we're hoping we'll be able to reschedule with them. And so along the way, we're going to take a quick break. Do you have someone on? Huh? I'm sorry?
No.
Okay. And so we're gonna close out our show along the way. And so we're gonna turn it over to Kennedy. She's giving me some gestures, so forgive me there. All right, go ahead.
Before we go, we thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps us get you on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at OnQ Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. And invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you are a leader in the church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, be on the lookout for my dad's book, Leader in the Mirror, out next month. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant me, his better half, best friend and wife, my mother, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate this show to breast cancer survivors. This has been OnQ Radio until next week. Get on cue with God's will, get on cue with your calling on our lives, and get others on cue with that calling.
do you lead a people who are scarred, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue. Let us help you get on cue.